Well, again, we're so glad you're here this evening. Merry Christmas. And we're just going to share just a little bit here about the Christmas story that Ben read here for us. But before I get started, I just want to say thank you to everyone who shared. You guys can maybe turn me down just a little bit. I feel like I'm really loud here. I want to say thanks to everyone who shared and lit the candles for us over the last five services. And it's just been a joy to hear your heart and what Christmas means to you. And so thank you so much for doing that. I also want to say a big thank you to everybody who was here yesterday that could come and help set up our new chairs. And that's been a blessing as well that I didn't have to do it all by myself. So thank you. But as we heard the Christmas story read and we saw this video, which was, I don't know how accurate that was, but you know, we've heard the Christmas story. I want you to realize, and I hope you do realize, that this story of Christmas is for all of us. And what's happening at the center of this story that is coming out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1 and 2, is a story of God making an announcement to the world. Now think about this. If you were going to make an announcement tonight, and you wanted everybody that was around you to hear this message, how would you do it? How would you get the message out? Who would you tell? See, we live in a culture, in a day and age, when we don't just make big announcements, but we make every announcement. I don't know if you've recognized that. Like, you go on any kind of social media, and we see that, like, we announce what we eat. We announce what we do. That was a rough day for me at work. We announce even sometimes just sitting around. We love to announce things. And within that, though, there is something significant, I think, about who we, you know, what we're trying to announce and what we're trying to say. There are things that we value and things that are important that are happening in our lives, and we want people to know about these things. And have you ever noticed that a relationship isn't really official till it's on social media, right? It's a good thing that was on Facebook, or I wouldn't know I was married. Right? Once it's there, it's a status for everyone to see, and it's really serious now. It's a good thing, right? That, you know, again, that I know I'm married. And so we live in this day and we live in this age where, you know, not only do we announce things and everything on social media and what's happening in our lives, but we are asked to announce things on the behalf of other people too. Because there are people who are hired on social media that, you know, are called brand specialists, and they get paid a whole lot of money to advertise and make announcements on the behalf of other people. There's people out there making a lot of money doing this. And it's not just social media where we announce, because we live in a day and age, right, where we announce, we have all these sports stars, high school athletes, they're announcing what school they're going to and for what sport they're going to be playing for. And they go on ESPN and whatever else they do this to announce this. We live in a time where we don't just announce that we're going to have a baby, but we live, you know, when we have these gender reveal parties, right? And there are people who go to elaborate schemes to make everybody know and make sure everybody knows what they're having. They have like these confetti fireworks displays, right? Pink or blue fireworks, so we know. So everybody can celebrate around them. And my point in just sharing this evening is that I, you know, in making these announcements that we do, that we often make, we announce these things that we value. We announce the things that we care about, but what we see is we spend a whole lot of time and sometimes even a whole lot of money to do this well. And so here in Luke chapter 2, God is making an announcement, and you would think that God is, as he's coming to announce his son, and not just any son, right? But this is the son who has been declared the chosen one, the savior who is to come down to earth. How would God announce this? How would he get the news out? And if God was anything like us, he would go to the kings, he would go to the politicians, he would go to the elite class, he would go to the wealthy, maybe even the religious leaders of the day, and he would say, I want you to let everybody know that my son is here. Let people know. But this is not what we see here in Luke chapter 1 and 2. Instead of God going to the wealthy and the elite and the powerful, God goes to a desolate, quiet place where nobody else is, and he goes to a group of shepherds to announce to the world that his son, the Savior, has come. And we may think, well, this is just a story, so what's the significance in it? Well, what we need to understand here tonight is that the significance of all of this is that God would show up to a bunch of shepherds. And so what does that mean for us? What does it mean that God would show up to shepherds? So I want to talk about real briefly tonight who it is that Jesus came down for. What's the significance that he would come to the shepherds? Then to understand why it is that Jesus came and what it is that we celebrate during Christmas time. And so let's start off. Who did Jesus come for? What we have just heard here is that God is going to send a bunch of angels to a quiet place, and he's going to reveal himself to shepherds. Now, shepherds were kind of the low class of society. This is a group of people that really didn't have any status. They didn't have any influence. They didn't really have any wealth to speak of. In many ways, these people, most people didn't know who they were as shepherds. Nobody really even cared what they had to say as shepherds. And so what we see God revealing himself to these shepherds who have no authority, they have no power, what we really see here is the heart of God. God is going to come down for the lowly. God is going to come down for the outcast. God is going to come down for the unwanted and the marginalized people. And this is what God is going to show us here over and over again as you read the scriptures, as you read the Bible. And one of the struggles that many of us have is we wonder, what is it that God really believes about me? What does God think about me? Or what if everybody, the people around me, really knew my story, knew my life, like what I've done in my life, or what I'm doing, or the things that have happened in my life, what would they believe about me? What would they think about me? Would they accept me, or would they just want me to go away? We think about this sometimes. And for some, there's a great risk even just coming to church, because there's some fear there, a lot of insecurity of being found out or being exposed for who we are. And what happens is, for many of us, is one of the great misunderstandings, one of the great misconceptions that we have about who God is that he would want nothing to do with us because he knows my life. And the misconception that we oftentimes live with as we go to church and we read the Bible is that God came for those that are super religious, that God came for those that are really moral and good lives, have good lives, that God came for people who do certain things and don't do other certain things, that God came for people who look a certain way. And what we see here is that God came down to the shepherds. And with that, it should give us some hope. And that hope is that God came for me. He came down for you. He came down for me. And here is the truth and significance of what God is trying to communicate by coming to the shepherds and communicate to us tonight, is that if you are the type of person that maybe you spent your entire life coming to church, you know the Bible, maybe you could stand up here and say it better than I could tonight. Or maybe you're the person who comes in here tonight and you feel okay about church. It's part of your life, but it's not a significant part of your life. You come when it's convenient. Maybe there's some here tonight that, you know, you got dragged here. You didn't want to be here tonight. Somebody manipulated you or convinced you to come tonight. Well, by the way, we're happy you're here, okay? But all of us are on these different spectrums, and what God realized, and oftentimes what we misunderstand is that whoever you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are in your life, there is nothing that you can do to earn God's acceptance. There's nothing that you can do to earn God's love. And because of that, God has come down to provide a way so that we can have a relationship with Him. We can know God. And the only way that we can have a relationship with Him is by understanding that we have a need for God. And what God is doing by revealing Himself to these shepherds is it's not your wealth, it's not your status, it's not your good deeds that's going to earn your acceptance to God. It's by understanding that God has come down. He has sent His Son, God the Son. It's by understanding that God has come down for you, for me. It's understanding that. And this is what God is proclaiming to the shepherds. And we see this over and over throughout the Bible. In fact, in Luke chapter 5, just a couple chapters from here, Jesus has grown up now. He's doing ministry, and as He's doing ministry, He's going to eat dinner with a bunch of people who are described as tax collectors and outcasts. And the tax collectors were those people that everybody else looked down upon. They were judged, and nobody wanted to be around these kind of people. And this is going to bring some religious people then to Jesus, and they're going to say, Jesus, why are you hanging out with these people? Why are you associating with them? Jesus, why do you want to be around these kind of people? And Jesus says to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I didn't come to save the righteous, but I came for the sinner to find repentance. And Jesus is saying, I came down for those who understand their need for me. There is a pastor whose name is Brendan Manning. And this is what he says Jesus came down for, and you'll see it up here on the screen. He says, Jesus came not for the super spiritual, but for the wobbly and weak-kneed who know that they don't have it all together. And it's in this statement right here that we see the reality of our hearts and who Jesus came down for. He came down for those who need help. That there is, and this is the power of Jesus. This is the power of God's proclamation over the shepherds and over the world. God is saying, I am not going to abandon you in your sin, in your mess. I am not going to leave you alone in your brokenness. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to enter in and I'm going to take it upon myself because I came down for you, Jesus says. That we are broken, that we are people who are in need, Jesus came down for us. And if this is true, and this is who Jesus came down for, it is true, then why did He come down, right? We'll go back to what Ben read this evening, and it's just a little section of that. Luke 2:9. It says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so what is happening in this scene here is the shepherds are waiting in a field and it's dark. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. And immediately it says that the shepherds are afraid. Now why are the shepherds afraid? There's two reasons that they are afraid. One of the reasons that they are afraid is that they are overwhelmed by the presence of God from this angel here. And you see this over and over throughout the Bible, that anytime people experience the presence of God, it leads them to a place of fear because they are so overwhelmed by the power of God's holiness and what is happening with the angel. The other reason that the shepherds are afraid here is because they don't know what's happening. Like, imagine you're out there, right? You're a shepherd, it's dark, and all of a sudden a great light appears, and an angel shows up. If you're that shepherd, you have to be thinking, okay, what's going to happen next? Am I done for? What's happening here? This can't be good. Well, the reason why the shepherds were afraid is because they didn't know what the angel was coming to do. But what does the angel say to them? He says, fear not, for behold, The reason why the angel says, "Fear not, behold," is he's trying to explain to these shepherds here why he is here, that Jesus has come. And the reason that you don't have to fear is because Jesus has come. He didn't come to bring wrath. He didn't come to bring condemnation or destruction. The reason that Jesus is coming is to bring himself. And by bringing himself, he is coming to bring you life. To bring life. And so the shepherds hear this, and they go from fear to worship, it tells us, of God. And I wonder, as we are here tonight, no matter where we come from, no matter where we are we sometimes like the shepherds? We walk into church and we talk to the people who believe in God, and we even think of our own relationship with God. Are we like those shepherds who live in fear? Again, like I said, if our fear being, if God really knew me, if God saw what was in my life, what would he think? Would he really want to be around me? Is God kind of looking down on my life, and is he just kind of dealing with me, you know, wanting to give me some wrath, or, you know, he's just kind of bring some condemnation, whatever? The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, behold." Jesus didn't come down to bring wrath. He came down to bring himself. And here's the truth. The way that you view God is going to impact the way that you experience God. And my guess is that for some of us tonight, your circumstances, or maybe because of other people who misrepresented God to you in your life, you look and you wonder, is God disappointed with me? Is God judging me? Is God just merely tolerating me? See, this was the story of a guy named Martin Luther. And if you're not familiar with Martin Luther, he was the father of the Reformation. He was part of starting the Protestant church. Martin Luther tells a story about, as a boy, he would go to church every Sunday. And every Sunday he would sit in the same seat, and he would stare up, because this was a church that had stained glass in every one of the windows, and it was pictures of something. But every Sunday he would stare at this same picture, and it was a picture of God. Actually, it was an image of Jesus in the stained glass. And he said for the rest of his life, he could never shake that image that he had of Jesus in the stained glass window. And it's not an image that I think we would associate with Jesus, because the image in that stained glass was an image of Jesus frowning. And one of the things that Martin Luther talked about was, for the rest of his life, he lived with that picture of God frowning on him. That God was disappointed with him. That no matter what he did, no matter how much he tried to serve God or use his gifts for God, it just never felt like it was enough. That in some ways, God was in this perpetual state of disappointment with him. Is that your story tonight? Is that how you feel as you come in here? Well, that's not what the angel said and proclaims over the shepherds. What did the angel say? He says, "I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The fact that Jesus has come down is not a message of wrath and condemnation, but it's a message of joy, because our Savior has come. And oftentimes, we don't look at Jesus as the source of joy, do we? We kind of think of Jesus as the robber of joy. That if I were to give my life, or if I'm going to follow Jesus, that what does that mean? Like, Jesus is going to take away my fun, my excitement, the things that I want to do with my own life. And what Jesus is saying here is, I have such a better plan for your life than you could ever imagine, one that's full of more joy and you could ever begin to think about. And so the message of Christmas is not that he came merely down here to merely tolerate you. He didn't come down to live in a perpetual state of disappointment in you. but that Jesus came down to go to the cross, to live the life that we cannot live, one that is perfect. He lived that life. And then he paid the price that we cannot pay, so that we can experience joy and experience it abundantly. This is why Jesus came. And I wonder, is that your experience with Jesus? Do you experience that with him? Because again, the way that we view God, the way that we see Jesus, is the way that we experience him. And let me tell you, this has been part of my own story. I grew up in the church and in a Christian home. There really wasn't a day where I didn't hear a Bible story or, you know, read the Bible or talk about things about church and Bible and things like that. And as I grew older, you know, I just struggled with some of these things. Like, I knew that Jesus came. I knew that Jesus died. I knew that Jesus rose again to life after the death on the cross 3 days later. I knew all of those things, but I oftentimes wondered, did he really die for me? Did he do it for me? There was a part of me and the way that I live my life that I believe that, yes, Jesus died, and maybe, yes, he died for me, but now it's up to me to prove that it was worth it. Like, it was a good idea for him to die for me, that he made the right decision. And what it made me do was to be focused on trying harder to be better, believing that the more that I did that for God, God would accept me, and maybe God would like me a little bit more, love me a little bit more. It made me live like I was on this spiritual roller coaster. And what I mean by that is that I would have those days where I would read my Bible, I'd go to church, or maybe I'd do something and say the right thing, and I'd live a good day, and I'd think, well, God must be really pleased with me, and I'm up here on that roller coaster high. And then there would be other weeks where I struggled with sin, where I didn't really want to read the Bible, and I was filled with shame and guilt, and I'd be thinking, God must be looking at me so disappointed in what I'm doing or what I'm continuing to struggle with, and boom, down at the bottom of that roller coaster, and it's an up and down thing. And I lived like that for a long time, and I couldn't enjoy the freedom and the grace that God had already given me. And when you live like I did, you're living your life for God, right? But you're making it all about you. All about you. It's not what Jesus has done for you. It's about what you can do more for him. And I'd bought into this lie. The lie was, try harder, be better, do more. And what you need to accept is that it's already been done. It's what I had to come to the realization, that it's already been done. Jesus has come down. The price has been paid in full because of Jesus and his life, his death, and his resurrection. And I wonder, for some of us tonight, that maybe you're living in that cycle of shame and guilt and condemnation, where you're just trying to earn your acceptance, where you're trying to earn your favor, you're trying to earn the love of God in your life, rather than just resting and worshiping and experiencing the fact that Jesus has already given it to you. See, the good news and the hope that we have is that Jesus has come down. This is what we celebrate here on Christmas. And because Jesus has come down, he is the source of our joy. The good news is that no matter who you are or what you've done, Jesus has come down for you, for me. And what Jesus says is, I didn't come down just for you, but what I've done is that I've lived a life that you couldn't live. I paid the price that you couldn't pay by going to the cross. And I've given you all of these things. A life that you would never be able to achieve on your own. It's by my love, Jesus says. It's through my grace, and it's for your joy that I've done this, Jesus says. And there is nothing that you can do to earn it. You don't have to, because the gift has been given to you freely. This is the greatest announcement that anyone could make, that God would proclaim over our lives. And that if you are here tonight, or if you're watching from home tonight, He would say, maybe some of you may say, you don't understand how lost I am, how broken I am, how outcast I've become. Or maybe some of you are saying, you know, I'm just really moral. I'm really living this good life. I'm self-righteous. Or maybe I'm just really religious. No matter where you are on that spectrum, where you fall on that, what all of us can celebrate is that Jesus has come down. And there's nothing that we can do to earn His love. There's nothing that we can do, because He's already given it to us freely. And this is the hope of Christmas, that Jesus has come down. That's the good news. It's not that just that Jesus was born sometime 2,000 years ago, but it was that what it's what Jesus came to do, right? It's what Jesus proclaims over our lives. He says it's a free gift, and all you have to do is trust, believe, and accept it, that He has already done this for you, right? That we trust that Jesus is the one who lived this life for us, that we can't live a holy life, perfect life. That we trust that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We trust that He rose again 3 days later. We accept and we believe that. We accept that, you know, He is my Savior now. I'm not trying to save myself by doing all these good things. Jesus did it for me, so I'm going to accept Him as my Savior. I'm no longer the king. He is. This is what this is all about. And this is how we know Jesus and have a relationship with Him. Would you bow your heads as we close in prayer this evening? That's really what this is all about. Jesus didn't just come to earth to be born. Jesus came to save the lost. Every one of us have blown it in some way throughout our lives. Every one of us has sinned, is what the Bible calls it. And the only way to make that right is by what Jesus came down to earth to do, is to go to the cross for us and to take all of that penalty of our sins on the cross. And if you don't know Him this evening, you can. You can do those things. You can say, I believe, I trust, I accept You, Jesus, as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. If you are already a follower of Jesus, if you are already a Christian, would you just continue to lean upon what Jesus has done, trusting in Him for every aspect of your life? This is the hope. This is the joy that we have, and He gives us joy everlasting as we turn our lives over to Him. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. God, we thank You that You did indeed come, Lord God. It's not just something that we talk about, we read in the Bible, Lord. It's something that's true, that happened, Lord God. You did come. You did live a perfect life, Lord God. And we know that You died on the cross. Not only is it true in the Bible, but we know it in history. And You rose again 3 days later alive to seal our salvation, to bring us victory over death and sin. And so, God, we give our lives to You. We thank You. We trust in You. We hope in You, Lord God. And Lord, let us just find that joy in You as we follow You with all our lives and trust You. It's in Your holy name we pray. Amen. And so, Merry Christmas. May God bless you as you go forth tonight. May you have a great Christmas day tomorrow.